Blog Talk Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا الله
Hot Dowell Group, and this is Hot Dowell Media Presents Glad Tidings, Season 3, Episode 9. The name of this episode is Toba, and Toba meaning sincere repentance, so sincere repentance to Allah. So in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, most merciful, I present the show to you. We'll cover sincere repentance to Allah, which is Toba. Just to give you a basic understanding to start off with, the word Tawbah is a Quranic Arabic word which translated basically means to a retreat or to return. So it's more to this. This is one of our first pre-recorded shows. So I edited it. I may have edited a little too much in some places, so please forgive me. I also pay attention to the ending of the show. We have a new brother to the deen, so this is 2 weeks in a row. Brother Chris, he took his shahada, so inshallah you'll enjoy it. Also, there's a part in here where you have a Quranic recitation from the Surah Toba that's in the Quran. And then towards the end, you have some more Quran from the Surah Toba, but this time it's in English. So inshallah, if it be the will of Allah, you'll enjoy it. I leave you in the care of Allah, fear mine Allah. Assalamu alaikum until next week. Also, at the same time, I'm uploading another show, our other show, Rudimentary of Islam. I'm also uploading that, so look for that in the show notes. And you can find on that, click on that, and listen to it, download it, give it to a friend, or whatever need to be. Also, check out our show notes. Those are uploaded already. So, inshallah, you enjoy the show. Assalamu alaikum.
Toba is a Quranic Arabic word that, when translated, loosely means a retreat or return. In the Quran and Hadith, both Toba is referred to as the act of leaving what Allah has prohibited and returning to what Allah has commanded. Toba loosely means, and for the basis of this conversation, could mean a sincere repentance. So you make Toba to Allah, it's a sincere repentance to Him. You let Him know that you're sorry, that you regret the sin that you made, and that you're going to make all intentions, and you're going to use every effort that you have in you not to go back to committing that sin. The Quran and Hadith both repeatedly mention the act of atoning from one's misdeeds. It's stopping your misdeeds, atoning from them, and having sincere determination to seek forgiveness for your misdeed. Toba is regarded as a major way of rectifying one's life. The way you move forward is to ask forgiveness for your sins in your past, and then move forward and prepare for the blessings that you have ahead of you. Toba is mentioned several times in the Quran, and a couple examples are Surah 66, verse 8, chapter 24, Surah 24, verse 31, Surah 2, verse 222, Surah 4, verse 17 through 18, Surah 25, verse 60 through 71, and Surah 9 of the Quran is named Tawbah, which at the end of this broadcast, I'll play a couple of verses, a couple of ayahs from that surah. It's ayah 111 through 116. It's a beautiful recitation. So please stay tuned for the recitation at the end of the surah. A couple of examples of Tawbah are Allah's Apostle, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every son of Adam sins. Blessed the sinners are those who repent. Timothy in his hadith 2499. Also you have Allah's Apostle, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by him in whose hand is my life. If you were not to commit a sin, Allah will wipe you from existence and will replace you by those people who will commit sins and seek forgiveness from Allah, and he will have pardoned them. So it says that Allah knows we're going to sin. Even from the hadith, the first hadith, it shows you that Allah knows we're going to sin. So he knows we're going to sin. So that's one of the reasons that we were made, was to ask for repentance from our sin. And if we didn't sin, then he would wipe us from existence and replace us with people who would commit sins and seek forgiveness. A lot of people read that and they get lost in it. It said they would sin and then seek forgiveness. Allah loves when we seek forgiveness from him. And this is in Sahih Muslim 37:6621. Another hadith is, Allah's Apostle, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, Allah is more pleased with the repentance of his slave than any one of you is pleased with finding his camel, which is lost in the desert. This is a story that I hope to find by the next time that I have a show about a Bedouin who loses his camel in the desert. And he looks for him, and he looks for him, and he looks for him, and he finally finds him. Inshallah, if it be the will of Allah, by the next show, I'll have this for you. That last hadith was from Bukhari. Tawbah should be made to Allah, our Creator. Being a Muslim, we understand that no man, woman, child, or creation can be prayed to for forgiveness. Only Allah can be prayed to for forgiveness. Repentance to any other besides Allah is forbidden and is referred to as shirk. Conditions of Tawbah are a few, but you have to understand them and make sure you implement them when asking for Tawbah, when asking for sincere repentance. The conditions for Tawbah are, you regret one's past evil deeds. Given another condition to Tawbah is to carry out divine duties that were missed. So that's the extra prayer. That's the dhikr to Allah. That's the staying up at night and praying. That's to tell people about Allah. That's to give dawah to your fellow mankind. The third condition to Tawbah is to return the rights and properties of the others that you unjustly did wrong to. The fourth condition is to ask forgiveness of the person who was wrong, physically or verbally. So if you've done someone wrong, then you ask their forgiveness. You yourself ask their forgiveness. And if you can't get to that person, if you try to look for that person or that person is not able to be contacted, then you must pray a little bit hard and ask for that person's forgiveness. The fifth condition is to make firm resolve to avoid the sin in the future. The sixth condition of seeking Tawbah is to employ oneself in Allah's obedience, as one previously employed himself in Allah's disobedience. So work just as hard, if not harder, seeking the forgiveness from Allah and doing the right things that you should have done as you did the wrong thing. So if you did that you weren't supposed to do, you will party and drink and curse and saying obscene things, then you work that hard or even harder to do the right things, do the things that you're supposed to do. Us as Muslims, we're supposed to live our life is supposed to mirror the life of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. That we can't do. We can't be like the Prophet. He was a man unlike any other mankind. Prophet Muhammad like none other man that was created. So we understand that. But our job is to work just as hard to be like him. It's our duty as Muslims to do the things to mirror what Prophet Muhammad did. Peace and blessings be upon him. And how we can do that is to read the Quran. His wife Aisha said that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, was a walking Quran. So we can read our Quran and try to implement the teachings and the ways and the rules and the regulations of the Quran in our everyday life. Another thing that we can do as Muslims is read the hadith and try to follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, or read the authorized biographies about the Prophet. This way we know how he acted, we know how he ate, we know how he treated his fellow mankind, how he treated his wife, and how he treated everyone around him, his companions. So many times we want to go off what someone else says, but if you follow the ways of Prophet Muhammad, they're in the hadith, the authentic hadith, they're in the Quran. So we know how he acted, and that's what we must do. So when it says, to employ oneself in a lot of obedience, and he previously employed himself in a lot of act as if the prophet would act. So to wrap the show up, to let you know, we did have another Shahada. It was Brother Chris. He took a Shahada, so that's two Shahadas in a matter of 2 weeks. So we have two more Muslims into the fold of Islam. And just to take a second out, I think that that's a problem that we're running into, not the Muslims coming to Islam, is how are we tracking these new Muslims? Not tracking them like the government, but how are we knowing how they're doing? How are we keeping up with them? How are they coming? How do we know how they're coming? How do we know that they're learning their Salah? How do we know that they're learning Hadith? How do we know that they're learning the right way to be? A lot of times, they come into the deen and they have this vigor, they have this goal, they have this off in them, and then it burns out because they have no one there to show them the right way. So what do? They revert back to the old way. So I don't want that, and I know you don't want that, because you sit here and you listen to this whole podcast to me, humming and humming and things of that nature. So you want the best for the deen, just like I want the best for the deen, and even more. So what I ask you to do is to stay tuned, stay patient. I'm trying to come up with a format or a form where we can keep all new Muslims, through as many new Muslims as we can, together, keep them linked, not just get them into the deen, take the Shahada, ask them to pray for our forgiveness, ask them to pray for Allah to forgive our sins, and then cut them loose and go about our business. How many new brothers and sisters have we seen come to the masjid, take their Shahada, and then we've never seen them again? Who took their number? Who's checking up on them? Who has their email address? So this new form that I'm working with Imam Bilal from Gainesville, Georgia, but it's to get the brothers and sisters that are just becoming Muslims, get some kind of certification, take their email address, and send them weekly, if not weekly, bi-weekly newsletters with certain Quran surahs that they may need to learn or may help them out. Give them certain hadith that will help them out. And give them some kind of pool of where they can stay in contact with the fellow Muslims. And also maybe have a once-a-month meeting to imam or certain imams where they can call in, ask questions, get advice, and things of that nature. So if this sounds like something that may be interesting to you, email me at hakdawahmedia@gmail.com. That's hakdawahmedia@gmail.com. And give me some ideas. Let me know how you're feeling about this. But this is a platform that we're working on. We're also working on the site where we can put our podcast on, the different podcasts that we have, different information that we have. And so it's there for new Muslims and current Muslims to go to, and not only get ideas on different subjects like Tawbah, but for Muslims to go in there, and maybe there's a link to show them how to make wudu, or there's a link on there to teach them how to correctly pronounce Surah Fatiha, things of that nature. So I really hope this is something that you're interested in too, because I'm interested in just achieving the next goal for this great Ummah and to get us out of this slump that we're in. I can't do it single-handedly. I understand that. I want to be part of it, just like I know you want to be part of it. If you have any suggestions on future shows or things, please don't forget to email us. I just gave you the email address, but it's hakdawahmedia@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Hawk Dowell Group. That's GRP for group. The show notes will be up on the site tonight, even though the show will be on, maybe up later on. But you can find us on our blog site at hawkdowell.blogger.com or Blogspot. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Find us on Stitcher. Follow us on YouTube. I'm going to change the format. I was taking every show that we did and putting it on YouTube. I kind of find that asinine, just the fact being that if it's on Blog Talk Radio, if it's on Stitcher, if it's on iTunes, why would I need to take the time, take the effort, and put it on YouTube also? So I'm not really thinking that makes a lot of sense. So I may change that format. I don't know. I'm working on that. The brothers and the sisters and I, we're thinking of new ways. We're trying to make this a little bit more interactive. So, like, once again, if you have any ideas, shoot us an email. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and blessings of Allah, the Almighty, be with you. Fear upon Allah.
Simple word, but it has powerful meaning that you're going to declare. And when you declare this, this is a life contract with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the Sunnah of the Prophet. But what you're going to do is just put your index finger up like this, the right hand, right? And you're going to repeat after me. Ashhadu.
Ashhadu.
Allah. إله
إله
إلا الله
إلا
وأشهد
وأشهد
أن
محمد
رسول الله
رسول
الله. I bear witness that there is no deity that deserves to be worshipped
except Allah.
And I bear witness
that
Prophet Muhammad is the servant and the messenger of Allah. Alhamdulillah, brothers. May Allah bless you. Takbir, brothers. May Allah bless you.
Takbir! Takbir! Allahu Akbar.
And at this moment,
إن الله اشترى من المؤمنين أنفسهم وأموالهم بأن لهم الجنة يقاتلون في سبيل الله فيقتلون ويقتلون وعدا عليه حقا في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن ومن أوفى بعهده من الله فاستبشروا ببيعكم الذي بايعتم به وذلك هو الفوز العظيم التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين ما كان للنبي والذين آمنوا أن يستغفروا للمشركين ولو كانوا أولي قربى من بعد ما تبين لهم أنهم أصحاب الجحيم وما كان استغفار إبراهيم لأبيه إلا عن موعدة وعدها إياه فلما تبين له أنه عدو لله تبرأ منه إن إبراهيم لأواه حليم وما كان الله ليضل قوما بعد إذ هداهم حتى يبين لهم ما يتقون إن الله بكل شيء عليم إن الله له ملك السماوات والأرض يحيي ويميت وما لكم من دون الله من ولي ولا نصير.
In other hadith, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام speaks about a man. He had his camel, riding his camel and traveling on his camel in the middle of the desert. And then for some reason, while this man is occupied in his own personal thing, he loses his camel. And where is that man? In the middle of the desert. He looks right and left in front of him, behind him. It's only a desert with a hot sun. Where's his camel? The one that he rides, it is transport. He's got his food, he's got his water, he's got his clothes, he's got his money, he's got everything on that camel. He looks for it, he can't find it. So while he's in the middle of the desert, under the hot sun, he sees a tree, he sits under that tree, lays down under that tree, waiting for what? Waiting for the camel to come, not waiting for the angel of death to come and take his soul. Because he's got no hope. He lost his hopes. If he screams, no one can hear him. And if he runs and walks, he's going to fall and collapse from being exhausted. So what does he do? He lays down under that tree, waiting for his death to come, or some support to come to him. While he's under that tree, he sleeps, he wakes up, he sees his camel, so he becomes so happy. He becomes so happy because he found what? He found his life. Not only his camel, but his life was depending on that camel. Well, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Allah is more happier Allah is more happier for his servant to repent back to him than this man finding his camel in that situation. Allahu Akbar.
Chapter 9, The Repentance. Freedom from all obligations is declared from Allah and His Messenger to those of the polytheists, pagans, idolaters, disbelievers in the oneness of Allah, with whom you have made a treaty. So travel freely, O polytheists, for 4 months, as you will throughout the land. But know that you cannot escape from the punishment of Allah, and Allah will disgrace the disbelievers. And a declaration is issued from Allah and His Messenger to mankind on the greatest day that Allah is free from all obligations to the polytheists, and so is His Messenger. So if you polytheists repent, it is better for you, but if you turn away, then know that you cannot escape from the punishment of Allah. And give warnings, O Muhammad, of a painful torment to those who disbelieve, except those of the polytheists with whom you have a treaty, and who have not subsequently failed you in aught, nor have supported anyone against you. So fulfill their treaty to them to the end of their term. Surely Allah loves the pious. Then when the sacred months have passed, then kill the polytheists wherever you find them, and capture them, and besiege them, and prepare for them each and every ambush. But if they repent and perform prayer and give charity, then leave their way free. Indeed, Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. And if any one of the polytheists seeks your protection, then grant him protection, so that he may hear the word of Allah, the Quran, and then escort him to where he can be secure. That is because they are men who do not know. How can there be a covenant with Allah and His Messenger for the polytheists, except those with whom you made a covenant near the sacred mosque at Mecca? So long as they are true to you, you stand true to them. Indeed, Allah loves the pious. How can there be such a covenant with them, such that when you are overpowered by them, they regard not the ties, either of kinship or of covenant with you? With good words from their mouths they please you, but their hearts are averse to you, and most of them are rebellious, disobedient to Allah. They have purchased with the signs and revelations of Allah a little gain, and they hindered men from His way. Evil indeed is that which they used to do. With regard to a believer, they respect not the ties, either of kinship or of covenant. It is they who are the transgressors. But if they repent, perform prayer, and give charity, then they are your brethren in religion. In this way, we explain the signs and revelations in detail for a people who know. And if they violate their oaths after their covenant and attack your religion with disapproval and criticism, then fight the leaders of disbelief amongst the pagans of Mecca, for surely their oaths are nothing to them, so that they may stop their evil actions. Would you not fight people who violated their treaties, tried to banish the messenger, and who attacked you first? Do you fear them? Allah has more right that you should fear Him if you are believers. Fight against them, so that Allah will punish them by your hands, and disgrace them, and give you victory over them, and heal the hearts of a believing people, and remove the anger from the believers' hearts. Allah accepts the repentance of whom He wills. Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Do you think that you shall be left alone while Allah has not yet distinguished those amongst you who have striven hard and fought and have not taken helpers, advisers, and consultants from disbelievers, giving openly to them their secrets besides Allah and His Messenger and the believers? Allah is well acquainted with what you do. It is not for the polytheists to maintain the mosques of Allah while they witness against themselves their own disbelief. The works of such are in vain, and in fire shall they abide. The mosques of Allah shall be maintained only by those who believe in Allah and the last day, perform prayer, and give charity, and fear none but Allah. It is they who are on true guidance. Do you consider the providing of drinking water to the pilgrims and the maintenance of the sacred mosque at Mecca as equal to the worth of those who believe in Allah and the Last Day, and strive hard and fight in the cause of Allah. They are not equal before Allah, and Allah guides not those people who are the polytheists and wrongdoers. Those who believed in the oneness of Allah, and emigrated and strove hard, and fought in Allah's cause with their wealth and their lives, are far higher in degree with Allah. They are the successful. Their Lord gives them glad tidings of a mercy from Him, and that He is pleased with them, and of gardens in paradise for them, where there are everlasting delights. They will dwell there forever. Indeed, with Allah is a great reward. O you who believe, take not for supporters and helpers your fathers and your brothers, if they prefer disbelief to belief. And whoever of you does so, then he is one of the wrongdoers. Say, if your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wives, your kindred, the wealth that you have gained, the commerce in which you fear a decline, and the dwellings in which you delight, are dearer to you than Allah and His Messenger, and striving hard and fighting in His cause, then wait until Allah brings about His decision. And Allah guides not the people who are rebellious, disobedient to Allah. Truly, Allah has given you victory on many battlefields, and on the day of the Battle of Hunain, when you rejoiced at your great numbers, but they availed you naught, and the earth, vast as it is, was straitened for you, and you turned and fled. Then did Allah send down His calmness, tranquility, and reassurance on the Messenger Muhammad and on the believers, and sent down forces of angels which you did not see, and punished the disbelievers. Such is the recompense of disbelievers. Then after that, Allah will accept the repentance of whom He will, and Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. O you who believe in Allah's oneness and in His Messenger Muhammad, indeed, the polytheists are impure. So let them not come near the sacred mosque at Mecca after this year. And if you fear poverty, Allah will enrich you if He will out of His bounty. Surely, Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Fight against those who do not believe in Allah, nor in the Last Day, nor forbid that which has been forbidden by Allah and His Messenger, and those who do not acknowledge the religion of truth, Islam, among the people of the Scripture, until they pay the jizya tax with willing submission and feel themselves subdued. And the Jews say, Ezra is the son of Allah. And the Christians say, Jesus is the son of Allah. That is a saying from their mouths. They imitate the saying of the disbelievers of old. Allah's curse be on them, how they are deluded away from the truth. They, the Jews and Christians, took their rabbis and their monks to be their lords besides Allah, by obeying them in things which they made lawful or unlawful, according to their own desires, without being ordered by Allah. They also took as their Lord the Messiah, son of Mary, while they were commanded by the Torah and the Gospel to worship none but one God. Praise and glory be to Him. Far above is He from having the partners they associate with Him. They, the disbelievers, want to extinguish Allah's light with their mouths, but Allah will not allow except that His light should be perfected, even though the disbelievers hate it. It is He who has sent His Messenger Muhammad with guidance and the religion of truth, Islam, to make it superior over all religions, even though the polytheists and pagans hate it. O you who believe! Indeed, there are many of the Jewish rabbis and the Christian monks who devour the wealth of mankind in falsehood and hinder them from the way of Allah. As for those who hoard gold and silver, and spend it not in the way of Allah, announce to them a painful torment. The day will come when their gold and silver will be heated in the fire of hell, and it will be branded on their foreheads, their sides, and their backs, and it will be said to them, This is the treasure which you hoarded for yourselves. Now taste of what you used to hoard. Indeed, the number of months with Allah is 12 months in a year. So it was ordained by Allah on the day when He created the heavens and the earth. Of them, 4 are sacred. That is the right religion, so do not wrong yourselves in it, and fight against the polytheists, pagans, idolaters, disbelievers in the oneness of Allah collectively, as they fight against you collectively. But know that Allah is with those who are pious. The postponing of a sacred month is indeed an addition to disbelief. Thereby the disbelievers are led astray, for they make it lawful 1 year and forbid it another year, in order to adjust the number of months forbidden by Allah, and make such forbidden ones lawful. The evil of their deeds seems pleasing to them, and Allah does not guide the people who disbelieve. O you who believe, what is the matter with you, that when you are asked to march forth in the cause of Allah in jihad, you cling heavily to the earth? Are you more pleased with the life of this world rather than the hereafter? But little is the enjoyment of the life of this world as compared with the hereafter. If you do not...